Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14 in the Word of God. Had a good time yesterday at the men's cookout and enjoyed some fellowship and some food and good time. I never did hear who finally won the cornhole. Brother Corey and Brother James. All right. Both of them were asked. Well, one of them's working this morning, I think. And so couldn't come. But, hey, we did have a good time. And last year, myself and Brother Terry Dunn, we won, all right? But we both took off this year to give somebody else a chance, right, Brother Dunn? We don't want to be, you know, three-peed or anything like that. No, we probably a good thing we weren't there. We'd have got whooped, too, but... All right, you're in 1 Kings chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading right there at verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. And get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and a cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings." We're going to leave off reading there this morning. I want to preach to you on the subject of exposed by disguise. You know, normally, most of the time, if you will, people wear a disguise to conceal their identity. So somebody will not know that identity. And of course, the biggest part of the time people wear disguises, it's not for a good purpose, all right? And so, but that's what Jeroboam did. He said, "Look, I want to send you down and ask the prophet of God, and I want you to disguise yourself before you go to see him," because Jeroboam had the idea that he could fool that prophet and could get a message from God to answer the concern of his heart about his own son and what was going to take place with that son. So, as I said, I want to preach to you on the subject of exposed by disguise. You say, "What in the world are you talking about?" Well, I believe the fact that Jeroboam wanted to hide the true identity of the one coming to ask that question exposes a lot about the kind of man old Jeroboam was, all right? So if you'll listen, I hope I can explain it and you'll get it. You see, Jeroboam had gone a long way the wrong way. He had just gone a long way the wrong way. He knew how wrong he was. I don't believe Jeroboam deceived himself at all. He didn't try to do it. He realized that his gods were a sham. He realized that... You know, they, when it got to the day that talked about in our text, he really found himself in a corner because he had some sham gods, but he needed something from the real God. He needed to hear from the God of heaven. He was in great need because of the sickness of his son, and so he needed to hear from the real thing, all right? But he knew Ahijah was the real thing. But he still thought he could fool him. Still thought he could. So he says, "I'm going to send my wife down there in disguise." And I want you to see about four things that I think we can see right here about Jeroboam because of it. The first one is this. He was ready to send but not ready to go. We'll say that again. He was ready to send, but not ready to go. You see, he wanted information from God, so he thought, I'll just send my wife to get it. What a man. What a man. I'll send my wife. I'm going to send her in, you know. We've had instances here at the church. I specifically remember some when my dad was still alive and he was the pastor. And I've been here in times past and he was here and a woman would come in and asking for help. Maybe, you know, with food or whatever, but said we were in need. And my dad asked her, well, where's your husband? Well, he's in the car. And I can remember my dad said, you go tell him to come in and ask. You go tell him. Hey, men, can I just say this? We need some men that'll go to God instead of sending your wife to get the message, all right? We need somebody that'll just stand up and say, hey, I don't want to just send somebody. I'm going to go myself. Boy, I remember, I think it used to be worse maybe than it is now, but there were many, many times that men used to send their wives and their kids to church, but they wouldn't go. They wouldn't go. But they would send them in, you know. Well, what old Jeroboam did really showed his cowardice. It showed his duplicity. It showed his deception. They were exposed because he sent his wife instead of going himself. Because it showed the fact, hey, he knew his gods had no power. They had no power. I'll remind you, he had instituted when the nation of Israel divided, Jeroboam got the bigger part of the nation, all right? And he ruled that part and he said, well, I'm going to lose my people, so we're going to make two gods. And he made two golden calves and he instituted that kind of worship. And he put one up in the north part of his country, one in the south part of his country. And the idea was our people won't go down to Jerusalem to worship anymore. But wait a minute, he knew those gods had no power, no promise, no purpose. But he didn't want his people to know that. So he sent his wife because he wasn't willing to go. You be careful about sending somebody else when you're the one that needs to go. That's what he did. Second thing he did, we see he was ready to scheme, but he wasn't ready to come clean. You know, I never cease to be amazed at how people will scheme. They'll do anything except just doing the right thing. We'll try to work every kind of scheme in the world. Jeroboam could have simply just gone down to Ahijah, made his request. Ahijah wouldn't have embarrassed him. He wouldn't have assaulted him. Man, he could have just went. It would have been over. But instead, he concocts this crazy plan, this crazy scheme, disguise my wife so Ahijah won't know who you are, and you go down there and you ask this great question of him so we can find something out. Hey, I tell you, folks haven't changed much. We live in a day where people like to scheme to get their way. People want to, they still try to get what they want from God without just coming clean before him. We try to make deals. How many times have you heard of somebody saying, and maybe you've done it, in a moment of distress, in a moment of great need, you said, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. What are you trying to do, make a deal with God? That's scheming. Scheming to get your will. To get your way. That's Jeroboam. That's Jeroboam. Now, he's not willing to come clean before God, all right? He thought, I'll fool that blind prophet. I'll tell you something, that blind prophet could see a lot further, and he could see right through the scheme of Jeroboam. He didn't have any problem whatsoever. But there he is. I'm not going to come clean before God. But I'm going to try to work my scheme out if I can. Hey, people are continually doing that nowadays. Lord, if you'll let my child live, then I'll do this. God, if you'll answer this prayer, I'll do this. I mean, all kinds of things. Just our scheming to get our way done, to get our will, and to approach it our way. Hey, you be careful about that. You be careful. You're in trouble. Smart thing for you to do is learn to come clean before God. Just come clean before Him. I want you to see the third thing we see right here. Look, if you will, at verse 3. Still have your Bible open there. Look at verse 3. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey. I want you to see this. Old Jeroboam was willing to pay, but he wasn't ready to pray. He was ready to pay. Ready to pay. He said, we're going to send these gifts. We're going to send them down here. I'm going to send them with my wife. Now, I want you to notice, none of these gifts had anything to do with the required sacrifices that God had instituted under the law. None of it. God didn't require loaves. He didn't require cracknels, and He didn't require honey. Now, I don't suppose there's anything wrong with loaves, cracknels, or honey, all right? But that wasn't what was required. Instead, he's sending something down there. You say, well, what was he doing? I don't know. Maybe just trying to pay his way, you know? Maybe some send some things to make us look good. We didn't come empty-handed. We brought you something. We got a question. We brought you something. We just want to look good before you. Maybe it was just to be polite. Just something more that Jeroboam could say, I did it. I did it. So what do you mean by that, preacher? There's a host of folks today that are willing to pay. You see, paying gives you the credit. You're with me? It gives you the credit. Hey, I did that. I brought that. I brought that. It used to be, I guess, a lot more normal than it is. Matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever done it. But I can remember my dad in years past, we hadn't had need of a special offering. And we were trying to raise money for something in the church, and not extravagance, but just pay some needs. And I remember many, many years ago, he would say, you know, he would give a figure, maybe $50 or $100, and say, would anybody give that? And I can remember him telling me about a fellow that was in the church, now not in this church, okay? So don't sit here and try to figure out who it was. There was a fellow, but I think it was in Florida. And Dad said, no matter what figure you started at, that's what he would give. So Dad said, always tried to start high so he'd get in on it, all right? And part of that was, hey, to be seen of men. To be seen of men. Hey, it's what I can do. It's what I can do. You see, there is something within us because we're human. There's something within us because we're human that makes us want to do something to gain favor with God. But I'm going to say this to you. I remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith? And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, friend, I want to tell you something. If we could gain heaven by what you or I could pay, the world would never hear the end of what we did. I did it.
I did it. I got here because of what I did.
But you can't get there on what you did.
You can't get there that way. See, that's Jeroboam. He was ready to pay.
Hey, he was king. He could afford it. He could afford that. But you say, well, preacher, man, I'm not a king. I'd never be that. But wait a minute. Sometimes we still try to pay our way. But that's not what's needed. What was needed was not for Jeroboam to come along and offer some offering. What he needed was pray. He needed to get on his knees before God and ask himself to pray. He needed to do that. You see, praying is just the opposite. Praying is, Lord, here I am, and I'm helpless. I'm helpless. And I'm not strong enough to even help myself. I need you. I need you. Hey, listen, that's where we need to be in relationship to the Word of God and our relationship with God. It's not what I can put out, but Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm depending upon you to do what needs to be done. Hey, sometimes we're get into situations where we have no other way to turn but to God. There's just nowhere else to look. But I want to tell you, you shouldn't wait till you get into that situation. Our first look ought to always be to God. Lord, I'm looking to you for help. You say, was there anything wrong with him going to Hijah? I don't think there's anything wrong with him going had he gone himself. But I'd have prayed before I went. He could have prayed before he went. Look, we're ready to pay, but I'm not ready to pray. Now, I've given you the first 3 points of the message. Good news, there's only 4. However, it may take a little while longer to preach number 4, all right? You see, yep, he was ready to sin, but he wasn't ready to go. He was ready to scheme, but he wasn't ready to come clean. Hey, he was ready to pay, but he wasn't ready to pray. But all of it boils down to this. He was ready to request, but he wasn't ready to repent. He wasn't ready to repent. Can I just emphasize this to you? Jeroboam knew the prophet of God. Jeroboam knew him. Jeroboam sent his wife because he knew my only hope is she would deceive him, but I know I never could. Because he knew the prophet of God. He knew him. And by the way, he knew the God of the prophet. He knew the God of the prophet. Have your Bible open. Look back there, if you will, in verse 2. And kind of towards the end of that verse, it says he's talking to his wife. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. You understand? We're talking about a man that had heard directly from God. Now, I'll tell you this. God speaks to me, but only out of his book. He doesn't speak to me audibly. I don't have visions in the night. Well, sometimes I do, but it's got nothing to do with God, all right? Nothing whatsoever. But I tell you, Jeroboam, he knew the prophet of God, but he knew the God of the prophet. That God had talked to him. That God had come to him and said, listen, I'm going to give you more, the biggest part of the nation of Israel. I'm going to give them to you. Not because of you, but because of God. God said, not because of you, but because of me. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you those 10 tribes. And you're going to rule over them. And he said, man, you can establish your kingdom if you'll do right. If you'll do the right thing, you can. That God had spoke. Man, you talk about good news. What good news? You're going to be that. Jeroboam knew that God. Hey, you know what? That's why Jeroboam knew he could go to that God.
because he knew who God was. Now, he had two golden calves set up in Israel, but he knew those two golden calves were worthless as they could be. Even though he had told his people, these are your gods. These are the gods that brought you up out of Egypt. Hey, Jeroboam was lying. He knew he was lying, but he was trying to back his own self. He said, what are you getting at? I want you to see that he knew God. I don't want you to think for a moment he was some guy walking in the darkness and some fellow that had never heard of God, wasn't familiar with him. He knew God. And he knew who God was, and he knew the God that could give the answer. He didn't send to any of his servants or any of his priests and say, pray to that calf and find out for me. Because he knew it was a waste of time. But instead, he said, I'm going to the real God. He was willing, and he was ready to send that request and make his request of God. The whole problem was he wasn't ready to repent. He wasn't ready to repent. But what do you mean, preacher? I mean, he wasn't ready to get right with God himself. I want you to take your Bible to the book of Acts. Now, there's numerous places we could go. But I want you to go to the book of Acts, if you would, in the New Testament. I want you to look at verse 22. All right, Acts, just any chapter. No, I was kidding. Acts chapter 8, if you will. I want you to look down in verse 22. Now, if you don't have a Bible, listen. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Here it is. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. What was the first thing to do? You repent. You need to repent. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, would you? Acts chapter 17. Look down one verse here in this chapter. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. One more verse. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Look down there in verse 20. Verse 20. Apostle Paul here was preaching to King Agrippa. He says this in verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Over and over and over in the Word of God, God tells you and I to repent. To repent. Hey, when we've got crosswise with God, you need to repent. Hey, when you think, I'll sin, but I ain't going myself, you need to repent. You need to repent. When you think, I've got a scheme that'll work this thing out because I'd rather work my scheme than come clean with God, you need to repent. You just need to repent. You need to come to God, repent, and make a change in what's going on, all right? You need to repent. Hey, when you'd rather pay and think I can pay my way rather than getting on my knees and exposing my dependence upon God, then you need to repent. You need to repent. Jeroboam's problem was his great sin. But Jeroboam not only sinned, but he caused other people to sin. When he put those two gods down for his nation and said, these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt, and we're going to pray to them, and he got priests for those gods. By the way, little g gods. He said, that's it. He went a long way the wrong way. He not only sinned, but he caused his people to sin. Well, I want to tell you this. You think you can sin and it only affects you. That's not true. You've got children, they look at you. You've got grandkids, they look at you. They look at you. You've got friends, they look at you. You've got people at work, they look at you. Hey, you can come to church, but if you're not right with God, you need to repent. You need to repent, all right? Just that. Just as we are told in Acts 26, verse 20, repent and turn to God and say, Lord, here I am. It's me. I'm the problem. I need you to help me. I need you to fix my problem. And I'm coming clean before you, Lord. That's what you need to do. Don't try to keep covering up. Don't try to keep running. Don't try to keep hiding it. No, it's here I am. I'm the one. I'm guilty. That's what Jeroboam needed to do. But the man he was, he sent his wife. That's him. I'm going to work my scheme. I can find out without exposing myself. But he exposed himself completely by what he did and the way he did it. I want to ask you this morning, in very simple terms, is that what you're trying to do? You trying to pull the wool over God's eyes? You trying to pull the wool over the preacher's eyes? That's not hard to do. You trying to pull the wool over other people's eyes? Well, you ain't fooling God. I don't know about y'all, but were you paying attention there in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 6? When I read that, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, well, who's here? Oh, no. Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. All right? And you just come on in. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? Hey, you know what? She never got to give him the loaves, the cracknel, or the honey. She never got to ask her question. She never came ever all the way. You see, God knows you. God knew. Hey, by the way, God knew Jeroboam sent his wife. God knew the condition of Jeroboam's heart. He knows your condition. He knows your need. Why don't you just come clean before him today? Why don't you just come clean? Why don't you just admit, Lord, it's me. I'm the one. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody else. It's me. Now, I need to get these things right. Now, can you imagine old Jeroboam could have saved himself so much problem, so much trouble, if it had just got on his face before God and said, I'm guilty. Hey, he didn't do anything that couldn't have been repented of and couldn't have been forgiven. And you haven't either, but you just need to come. You need to come. You need to pray. You need to repent. Will you do it this morning? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning because we're needy people. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. We need, Lord, what only you can give us. And Lord, I pray you would help this morning. Help us, first of all, to be honest enough to admit our situation. Jeroboam wouldn't confess to his own situation. Lord, we'll never get right till we're willing to admit we're wrong. Would you help us today? Help us this morning, the invitation time, as you deal with us, that we'd do as you'd have us to do today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning, page 401, Only Trust Him. Would you do that? Would you do that? Would you join these that are here? Would you come this morning while we sing the invitation hymn? Would you come while we sing? Come on.
Mercy with the Lord, He will surely give.
trust Him.
Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Sing that next verse, would you? Next verse this morning, would you come? God speaking to you, would you come to Him? Lead you into rest, leaving Him out delay. You are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Well, amen. I hope this morning you did what God wanted you to do. You've had the chance, but there's still opportunity. The invitation's still open. Glad you're here this morning. What a joy to have you in the service.